Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hey, welcome back. 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton for you. Carrington Harrison at Churchill Downs awaiting Kentucky Derby prelims in the Kentucky Derby tomorrow, all dressed up in his nice wicker hat or straw hat. Tomorrow he's in the fedora. So Carrington going to have one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities down at the Kentucky Derby. A Royals baseball coming your way tonight. Josh Vernier's on at 5 o'clock. We'll talk to Josh Vernier in about 40 minutes as we talk Kansas City Royals as well. But now, as promised, Josh Briscoe, one of our Chiefs insiders on the line right now. What's up, Josh?
I'm doing very well, Bink. It's good to hear from you. Good to chat with you. I am a little bit sidetracked, though, because I am now on Carrington's Instagram. I had not yet seen the fit.
It
is unsurprisingly excellent. This is how he should host radio shows in the future, too, honestly.
No, I agree with you, and now it's on YouTube, too, so in Twitch and everything else, so people can watch it. They can see the, quote, fit.
Yeah, I think that needs to happen. Check it out, and let's try to make sure we give CDOT enough hats to work with, so it doesn't have to be the exact same one Monday through Friday. But I think he could just every day of the week have a different fit, looking like he's going for some real elite levels of money there. I think that's what this baby blue powder blue jacket is doing for me.
Well, exactly, you dress nice yourself, Josh. Hey, but tell you what, have you ever been to the Kentucky Derby, or do you want to go?
I have not been. It's one of those things that I don't have like a huge attachment to it, but I would absolutely go if someone was like, "Hey, I'm going to the Kentucky Derby and you can come. You want to go?" I'd be like, "Yes, absolutely."
I don't know if you studied at all and looked at horses or anything, but I've been diving into who the mutters are.
Whoa! Okay,
well,
tell
it's
me
gonna rain. It's gonna rain, so you gotta check out the mutters, man.
Yeah, I have no I barely can scout football players. I can't scout horses worth a dang. So you let me know who I should be backing. I often just try to pick a nice horse with a funny name.
Well, I did talk scouting players, and we'll talk about the Chiefs draft with you here, Josh. Last segment I was talking about something Ryan Nutt said on a Zoom call when he was basically going through all the Chiefs picks. And he talked about nil money, and he talked about the transfer portal and how it's changed scouting. I think it's pretty interesting because – it is tougher to get evaluations on players when they bounce the transfer portal a couple times, because you can go back to the previous school and you may not get good information, because they might hate the kid because he hit the transfer portal and left. So they're like, "Oh, screw him." And then you might get exaggerated at the new place. And now guys are cherry picking what they do at the combine. Sometimes they do or don't run at the pro day. Like Austin Jeanty didn't even run at his pro day. He ran through the bags. But it is tougher and tougher, I think, to get good information on players. It's making the mock drafts tough, Josh.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about that a little bit last segment, and it really got me thinking that it's kind of gone maybe full circle. I don't know where scouts would say it's been the hardest, but right now you can get so much information, and now you're talking about getting more information from multiple schools, that now you have to make sure you not only have enough information, but that your information is quality, and that you're able to kind of to weed out the stuff that is just the noise. And you've always had that, you know. I'm sure your high school coach is always going to say the nicest assesses things because he wants to see one of his players make it to the NFL level. And like you said, maybe the player leaves in the transfer portal and burns some bridges. Does that make the opinion of the former school more or less valuable? Yeah. If you leave a school and that administration still has nothing but nice things to say about you, that's even more valuable, perhaps, to say, you know, he gave us everything he could and then went on to, let's say in this case, Ohio State, and was able to play at an even higher level. It's really fascinating, and the entire kind of information trading of all of sports right now between the college and pro levels is something that we've never seen in quite this form before, and I have no doubt that it's different. I wonder if it's harder now than it was in the 90s, you know, when you're just like making phone calls and hoping that your three or four sources have good intel.
No,
now
no
you can
question.
Get a hold of anybody on Instagram.
I think it's interesting. Xavier Restrepo, I think, will be a topic, and it should be a topic going forward. And agents to talk to their players about it, because here you have a receiver that probably would have gone the second or third round. When you lead the University of Miami in yards and catches in your career, which has had a ton of good receivers, that deserves talking about. But the 4.83 40 he ran, didn't run at the combine, ran at the pro day, all of a sudden he's not even drafted. He ends up with Cam Ward at Tennessee, going to be a good spot for him. But that helped NFL teams, I think. Okay, we know this guy's slow now. But had he not run that, somebody might have thrown a second or third round pick at him. So it is kind of interesting. It hurts him, helps the teams.
Yeah, and it's funny because especially with this year's combine measurements now even being a little bit in question, right? The arm lengths.
Yeah, Josh Simmons, we don't know. He's 33 at the combine, 34 at the pro day, and the Chiefs measured even about that as well.
It's really wild. And again, it kind of goes back to me, the thing that is the most interesting, which is you're getting all of this information, but to your point, you're getting it from different sources that will have different things that they want you to take away from it. How do you get to the truth of it with this just absolute whirlwind of info is really, really fascinating. And it's going to be something that maybe over the next few years, we'll get a better idea of did it make life easier or harder for NFL teams? Do draft picks get on a baseline more or less successful? I don't know. I know that there are fewer players in the NBA draft this year than there have been in a very, very long time. And that's good for the college basketball game. But
100%.
From a scout's perspective, what's life like right now in the NFL? It's got to be messy.
And Nils definitely changed things too. Who's your favorite pick now that we sit back week away from day two of the draft as we sit now? But when you think about these picks and who they got, and when you start thinking about the why'd they go out and get them, is there one that stands out to you?
The one that I was the most excited about when the name showed up on the screen was Jalen Royals, because I had kind of come to terms after they took Noel Williams at 85. Like, okay, well, this is just probably going to be one of those drafts where they don't take a real investment at wide receiver, because a lot of those guys, and this is still going to end up being true for Royals in some way, but you know, the first round, you expect that guy to be a real contributor. In the second round, maybe it's Rashee Rice, maybe it's Sky Moore, but you have real expectations on what they're going to do. Well, Jalen Royals ended up getting drafted closer to where Cornell Powell went, you know, kind of that developmental outside shot kind of guy. But Jalen Royals was someone I certainly expected to hear the name of on day two. So him being the selection at 133, even while I was kind of assuming that I was not going to get my wide receiver wish this year, and while I was assuming that 133 was probably the right time to go draft a running back, when it was Jalen Royals, I was very excited. And it has been the case many times throughout this draft class. The Chiefs found good value at impact, like high value positions. And so for me, I was excited by Royals perhaps the most.
Yeah, I was glad they went offense there. It's like waiting. And yeah, Josh Simmons is offense. I get that. But it was heavy defense. Then Jalen Royals, like, okay, this is good. But here's the thing. He's got less pressure and stress on him than I think a lot of the wide receivers have been taking the last couple of years. Sky Moore. I think Rashee Rice definitely had a little bit of pressure on him to come in, show up, and shine. Xavier Worthy, not at first because Hollywood Brown was here and Rashee Rice. But then all of a sudden when they're gone, it's like step up rookie. So he ended up having a lot of stress on him and pressure because he was a first round pick. But Jalen will fit right into that fourth wide receiver slot for the Chiefs. It'd be perfect for him.
And this year, he might still be getting, and I think he will actually pretty definitively, I think he's going to get outsnapped by Juju Smith-Schuster in a major way. But that's okay. This is your fourth-round pick in his rookie season. Learn from Juju Smith-Schuster, and there will be injuries, and he will be forced onto the field at times.
Sure.
But really, can you be the long-term wide receiver three alongside Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy? And look, I mean, nothing is certain, and Rashee Rice only has 2 years left on his rookie deal. I mean, these things move very, very quickly. But I thought that was a wise investment, and I really could see how those pieces all fit together, where if you tell me even in 2026 you've got Royals and on the outside with Worthy and Rice, and I don't know who your tight end is there, but those are your top three receivers. That's a crew that I'd be pretty excited about, I think.
And I think Kelce coming back helped them in that regard, so they didn't have to, you know, throw another dart at tight ends. Like, that really was kind of low key good for the Chiefs as far as the draft is concerned. I look at like Omar Norman Lott. I think he'll be a good rotational piece again. The one good thing about him is good pass rushing ability. I mean, led in win rate on Pro Football Focus where he was drafted. A lot of people like that pick, even though he's a rotational pick. Gelati's interesting to me with those Karloftis comparisons, the fact that Karloftis was helping him even in college because Jeff Brohm and Hagan, his defensive coordinator, came from Purdue that had Karloftis, came to Louisville and had Ashton. But Noel Williams, I think, was my favorite pick because I could see him starting. I don't have any starters that you look at on this draft class, but I think that's one that can make a push to start out of this whole group.
Yeah, I agree with you, and it's funny. I was thinking about this last night and chatting with somebody about, like, who has the biggest impact as a rookie. I think Noel Williams is a good bet there. I think my final answer would probably be Breshard Smith, their last pick, and that's just, you know, that's about the rookie learning curve at running back, the room as it is, and all of that. But so many of these picks are forward-looking. Obviously, Josh Simmons could end up redshirting this entire year. We'll see. Omar Norman Lott, I think, is, you know, the idea that he's a Tershawn Wharton replacement stylistically makes sense, but I think their hope right now is that he's really going to be a Jerry Tillery replacement in 2026. Ashton Gelati is going to get a much larger role after Mike Dana and Charles Aminihu are gone after this season. Noel Williams is probably your Jalen Watson replacement. You got 2 years with Christian Fulton. So all of those picks, even the premium picks, the day one and day two picks, are, I think, relatively wise investments to try to keep not only like really good, useful players at these important positions, but also if those guys hit, and this is a really important draft because of this, if those guys hit, you don't have to go out and spend money on a CB2 or a wide receiver 3 or whoever it is that's going to be patching up your defensive line next to Chris Jones. So I think this draft class was really, really, really important. I think the Chiefs took a very forward-looking approach to it that I completely understand, but it is going to test our patience a little bit because, again, I really think Breshard Smith might be the guy that has the biggest impact as a rookie.
What did you think when you're sitting there watching the draft and you're thinking, all right, when they go in running back? I really thought it was going to be the Jeffrey Bosa pick, to be honest with you. I thought that was going to be running back. Listen, Breshard Smith is interesting because he's got low wear and tear on his body. He was a wide receiver at Miami, low wear and tear when he went. Great year he had at SMU, and was actually pretty decent when it came to the college football playoffs as well. But that seventh round, I'll say it again, thank you, Patriots. Not only did the Chiefs trade three times, two of those trades were to the Patriots. The Patriots also showed up when the Chiefs jumped up to get Trent McDuffie. So thank you, Patriots, there as well. But it's almost like you get to that seventh round, you're like, all right, what are we going to do? Who's going to still be left at the end of the seventh round? Oh, we'll just take both our seventh round picks, including Mr. Relevant. We'll flip them to the Patriots, and we'll get our running back. As much as they talked all about the winner running back on this roster, and don't be surprised, there should be a running back on this roster. I'm sitting here going, all right, this is the best class of this draft. They've said it themselves. Are they going to go without getting a running back? And then it's like, okay, panic time in the seventh round. Let's go get Smith.
Yeah, I was at a point where I don't think I would have been stunned if they would have taken a running back at literally any of their picks. I would have absolutely loathed it in the first round.
Yes.
And really, I would not have liked it. Probably, you might have had the original pick, I guess, for Noel Williams was 95, right, before the move up. So if you told me they took a back at 95, again, I was kind of anticipating one at 133, certainly with a Jeffrey Bosa pick after that. At every one of those turns, I was like, not only kind of open to it, I was almost hoping, like, okay, well, Devin Neal and DJ Giddens, I know we're like falling in love with the local guys, but they made a lot of sense in this offense, I thought. Well, once you get to the seventh there and you are in that kind of no man's land, it felt like it just kept happening. And it was really, I think it was Breshard Smith and Martinez were kind of like the last two running backs on the board who I had any opinion of whatsoever, just like guys you know about. And it seemed like Martinez had some off the field stuff impacting his slide. So when they trade up and they're on the clock, I'm thinking, well, this has to be them getting ahead of the undrafted free agent pool at running back, and Breshard Smith sure would make a lot of sense. But usually you say that out loud and then they take somebody else. In that case, it was Smith, and I'm pretty content with that now. I feel a lot better, Bink, about the running back room with Breshard Smith than I would have if they were just sort of going through that UDFA pool. And I know it's a very slight distinction, but I think it's important that they got to pick their guy of that class there, pick their skill set, And I'm really excited to see what Andy Reid tries to do with this guy over the next couple of years.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting some of the guys they took when you think about the why. Like Omar Norman Lott, clearly that win rate was popular for the Chiefs, best in the country. Gelati had more pressures than anybody in the country with 60. Noah Williams led the nation with 7 interceptions. He had a fumble return, interception return, a kickoff return. He did everything. Did Noah Williams. The funny thing is like most things you read is, well, some of them is like, oh, he's a bad tackler. But yet Dayton Brugler out there talked and raved about his tackling ability. I brought his head coach on, Kevin Wilcox, and he was raving about his tackling ability. So I like that one. But I can understand the why. And Jeffrey Bossa, that's a guy that's going to be Dave Tobe on special teams, to be honest with you. And that could be a replacement for Drew Tranquil in the future. Again, green dot guy, a leader for that Oregon defense. But I can completely see the Chiefs when they look ahead. All right, who's the replacement? I think Bossa, you definitely put in there as a future replacement on defense, especially linebacker.
Yeah, and I'm saying this for myself because I have every inclination to try to, like, buy the best-case scenario, right? And, like, I have to remember that I also loved Dorian O'Daniel. Like, I thought for sure he was going to be a star. So it is a projection. It's a projection at 31 overall, 32 overall. It's a projection at 156. But I thought it was fascinating that as the Chiefs over in recent years, it feels like they've really had a preference for the box safety that plays like a linebacker rather than the linebacker that used to play safety. And again, Drew Tranquil is kind of the outlier in recent years there. So I think the idea that you have a guy that has done the green dot stuff that's going to make him even easier to use for Spags, I think that's really, really important. A lot of times I think you get really athletic backers who can get shot out of a cannon, but then they show up in the NFL level, and especially for a coordinator like Spagnuolo, where they need to have a pretty high level of mental understanding, not only of what they're doing, but what the offense is doing and how the rules respond, all of that stuff. So if Bossa has a little bit of that aptitude and he can bring that coverage first physicality to the linebacker room, he'd be a really nice running mate for Nick Bolton for a while. I assume, as I think pretty much everybody does at this point, again, like Mike Dana, Drew Tranquil, that class of guys that have another year that do not make sense to pay them out that year, this will be the end for both of those guys. And then I think Ashton Gelati for Dana and then Jeffrey Bossa for Drew Tranquil will end up being the replacement if things go well. And if they don't, if you miss your evaluation, now you're spending that Drew Tranquil money in free agency to fill that hole.
And last but not least, the Chiefs' first round pick, Josh Simmons. It's funny because I'll ask people who your favorite pick was. And I've asked people, you know, casually, who's your favorite Chiefs pick this year? The name Simmons rarely comes up, to be honest with you, which is unusual for a first-round pick to hear that name. And, you know, I ask different people, who's your favorite pick? I hear Noah Williams all the time. I'll hear some Jalen Royals. I'll hear some Ashton Gelati. But I don't hear Josh Simmons very often. And I think that's maybe the wait-and-see attitude for Simmons. Because if he works out, hey, you got a steal, you got a great deal. But I think there's that hesitation at times for people to say, all right, that's my favorite pick, because you're not sure when you're going to see him.
When you asked me at the top, I was between Royals and Josh Simmons, and I thought, you know what? I bet we'll talk about Josh Simmons. So I Royals was the most exciting one for me. But I will say, Bink, and I know where you're coming from, and I know what your last week or so must have felt like, but I think the process on Josh Simmons makes all the sense in the world. I understand, and also you think about, even if he doesn't play this year, the left tackle position is in a much better spot than it was this time last year with Jalen Moore there, as opposed to just rookie Kingsley versus Wanya Morris. Hope one of them is ready for week one. I think with Josh Simmons, the reason that the risk of it all doesn't move me now is because every draft pick has risk of some sort. Not all created equal, but risk of some sort. And as the premium of the pick goes higher and higher, the risk reward becomes more and more dangerous. But it's funny to look back at, like, just these last three first round picks the Chiefs have made. Felix Anyadike-Uzomah was a risk because you were projecting him being able to string that talent jump together to another level while being a very, very young player. And he effectively redshirts as a rookie, doesn't do a whole lot last year. This year's going to be really important for him. Xavier Worthy was a risk because he got drafted at 170 pounds. And you're saying, no, we think this guy's going to be able to play 16, 17, 20 NFL games in a season and stay healthy. That was risky. There's not a lot of guys you can compare to him. Josh Simmons, his risk is obvious, right? If his knee is bad, you burnt a first-round pick. And if he looks like the guy that he was at Ohio State, even if you have to wait a year for him, you may have finally answered Patrick Mahomes' left tackle question for the long haul. So it's a risk I'm comfortable with, trading back and then picking up that fifth rounder just to move back one spot and still getting your guy. It is good process and good maneuvering. It sucks to have to bet on medicals that we have no further details on. We're just sitting here going, all right, I hope Rick Burkholder didn't just light a first-round pick on fire, which is kind of how Brett Veach was framing it at the time. But I really do like the pick. I totally understand the hesitation. I totally understand the underwhelming nature of a lot of these guys being picks who you don't expect much from as rookies. But I really see the long-term vision on Josh Simmons, and it's a risk I'm happy they took.
Well, the one thing about it, too, is just remember, you know, 12 of the 13 picks were first-round grades.
Right.
I mean, that was kind of consensus around the league. That was Brett Veach. And we've seen, you know, sometimes 20 guys get first-round grades. That's why Trent McDuffie was sitting there, and all of a sudden they started to slide. That's why the Chiefs moved up and got him, because they had a first-round grade on Trent McDuffie. I understand that. And I understand when you're picking, you know, at the end of the first round, it's sometimes tough, because essentially that guy's a second-round player, to be honest with you. The patellar knee injury, and I'm not a doctor at all, but it's a tricky one, man. The NFL teams have not dealt a lot with it. So that's a real wild card as far as concern. But I am glad they brought him in for that top 30 visit. They remeasured his arms. They grew an inch, by the way, since the combine. Yeah, Will Campbell saw that. Jalen Milroe's hands grew as well. So that's always interesting. But you always kind of look at who they played. All right, which good edge rusher they played. They played early in the season, September, they played Marshall. That's home of Mike Green. Mm-hmm. Led the nation in sacks. Okay, that's interesting. Only two snaps. Simmons had two snaps against Mike Green. That was it. So can't evaluate that either. So it made it tough in many different situations. As far as nationally is concerned, Josh, obviously there's been a lot of talk about Shadur, and I'll get to that in a second. How about the Houston, Kansas City kids? Local high school kids drafted by the Houston Texans. Prop to Kansas City high schools. Props to Houston Texans for taking a dart and actually not bringing these guys as undrafted free agents, but throwing draft picks, including Ursary out of Ruskin that played in Minnesota. I really liked him at offensive tackle, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about that. It's been very cool to see there be more and more kind of that attention being pointed back in this Kansas City direction as more of these guys do make it in at the NFL level. And I feel like, I mean, I know they're in the AFC, but I feel like you can throw a little mild rooting interest in Houston's general direction before playoff time and whatnot. You want to root for them to win the AFC South on the back of their Kansas City kids? I think you'd be more than justified.
And the Shadur thing, it's not about the slide. We all know that. It's been talked about many times. It's not about the prank call either. How about the fact of that his phone number was given to all these people to get the transaction reports? That his phone number, personal cell phone, went to like 2,000 people, which is interesting to me. That's the part that's got to change. He didn't have an agent. So normally it's the agent's phone number. He didn't have one because he and Shiloh used Deion. So his phone number was out there for everybody to grab. Now, Shiloh has fired Deion, and he went to Drew Rosenhaus as soon as the Buccaneers picked him up undrafted. Shadur still is using Deion. I do find that interesting that it's no wonder the prank calls happen when 2,000 people are getting phone numbers.
Yeah, having an agent would have been a great way to avoid that.
100%.
It's kind of funny, man. Like, Lamar Jackson, on the other side of the coin, right, like represented himself through a bunch of that negotiation, got a huge deal eventually. I believe that ultimately it was either him or like someone in his family was doing the majority of that work throughout that process.
Yeah.
But the thing that Lamar Jackson was able to do there was properly evaluate his value. And that clearly did not happen out of the Sanders camp. I think it would have been totally reasonable for someone to have taken Shadur in the second or third round. Teams do crazy things for the quarterbacks they fall in love with all the time. But it turned out nobody fell in love with Shadur. And I don't know. Listen, when you're out there on the dating scene and you realize that nobody's fallen in love with you, maybe look internally a little bit and try to figure out why that's happening. I don't know.
It's a great way to look at it. Josh Briscoe, one of our Chiefs contributors, 96.5. The Fan. Josh, always enjoyed it. The picks are in. Now it's time to watch the mini camps, the OTAs, and then, of course, make other knee-jerk reactions at training camp.
Yes. I cannot wait to overreact with you anytime you need a knee-jerk reaction.
Yes.
That will be...
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Irrelevant by the next day's practice. You ring me up.
Thanks a million, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Appreciate it. You do the same.